Okay, here we go. Good morning, everybody. It's great to be back with you. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you. I'm Kyle Seeloff. Thanks for joining us for episode 3 of the off-season of Beyond the Bases, where today we're chatting with Marlins right-hander Pablo Lopez and former Marlin and All-Star first baseman, currently with Fox Sports Florida. That would be Gabby Sanchez. I had an opportunity to catch up with both Gabby and Pablo earlier in the week. Pablo at the Marlins annual Thanksgiving turkey distribution, where the organization distributed 1,000 turkeys and Thanksgiving meals to those in need around the holiday season. And I say this with the utmost sincerity. It's one of my personal favorite events that the Marlins organization hosts annually. It really does just put everything into perspective for so many of us that are so fortunate. And it's just really nice to be able to give back to members of our South Florida community around the holiday season. Okay, let's not waste any time this morning. There is turkey to eat. Here's Marlins right-hander Pablo Lopez, who put together a really encouraging 2020 season. And his manager of the year, Don Mattingly, and his pitching coach, Mel Stottlemyre Jr., both raved about the progress that Pablo made. Well, it's always a pleasure to sit down with Pablo Lopez, and we get that opportunity this week on Beyond the Bases. And Pablo, it's great to see you. And I know a 60-game season to many felt like 162 games. When it was all said and done, I'm sure it was mentally exhausting as well as physically. How nice was it when you guys get back from Houston just to take a step back and just rest?
Yeah, obviously it was really nice once we got to really take that step back and, you know, like really cool down, really settle down and realize everything we achieved, you know. Because when spring training 1.0 got shut down, you know, we didn't stop. Like, we just kept throwing. We kept getting ourselves ready for when they would call us, let us know that we were going to play again. So obviously it was really exhausting both mentally and physically. But having that opportunity at the end of, like, take a step back, look at everything we did, and obviously take some time to ourselves to really relax, it was really good. I felt really, really proud of everything we achieved as a team, everything we overcame, how we faced adversity, and how we just grew up as a team, how we grew together as a family. So that feeling, like, it's something I'm always going to cherish forever, you know. Whenever I look back at the 2020 season, I'm going to remember how we became a family, how we created that bond that was able to help us on the field as well.
The achievements and that bond, have you ever felt more a part of a team given all that you guys endured?
Not really. 2020 season, that Marlins team that I was fortunate enough to be a part of, is the closest to a team I've ever felt, you know. We just were there for each other. We held each other accountable. We supported each other. We helped one another. We were playing for the guy next to us, you know. Obviously, we had some times that we were struggling. We had some times that things were not going our way, but our mentality was always on doing the right things, doing things the right way. So knowing that the guys behind me were making the plays for me, like, you just made me, like, feel comfortable on the mound, like, I'm going to execute this pitch for them, you know. Like, just having that mentality of, like, you're playing for something bigger than yourself. You're playing for the team. You're playing for the guy next to you. And, like, from the very first day, that's how it felt in the clubhouse.
I know the ownership group has said this, and you guys did too, that this is just the start of something. Like, losing to the Braves in the divisional series isn't, hey, we made it, we're good, whatever happens now. Do the conversations continue with your teammates after the season in group text? I know guys like to step back, but to say, you know, we're not done yet, guys. Like, this is the part, and this is the beginning of something really special.
Yeah, so the moment the season was over, we took the time to congratulate each other, you know, to really, really grab a teammate and just let him know how proud we were of, like, how they grew as a player, as a person, you know, all the things they did. And obviously, like, we know we're not done yet. Like, it was great to get to where we got last season, this season, but, like, obviously we know and we want to accomplish more. So, yeah, it's an ongoing conversation. Like, we know we can get better. We know, like, we know what we're facing. We know, like, if we want to get past where we got this year, like, we know what we're up against. And, like, we know that we have the tools, we have the talent to make it further. So it's an ongoing conversation. It's an ongoing talk about having that mentality, making sure that mentality does not go away, you know, never being satisfied. Obviously, you can be proud, you can be excited for what you did, but not being satisfied, like, until we win the very last game of the season.
personal standpoint, and I thought about this, especially when it comes to starting pitching this season. You made 11 starts. In a perfect season, you make 30 starts, pitch 200 innings. You might hit a bump in the road for three or four starts where you can go and work on things with Mel and get feeling better. But this year, you didn't have a ton of time to make adjustments. Did you feel the pressure? Was it a season that you really felt like, I have to be perfect every time I take the mound? Because in a 60-game season, these games are really important.
It wasn't as much as being perfect, but you really knew that you could not take a pitch off. You know, sometimes you get caught up in the moment and, like, you get carried away. You go through the motions and you realize you might have wasted two pitches. Not wasted, like wasted, but like you weren't 100% focused. So it was like every fifth day that I had the chance to take the mound, I knew like I have to be extra focused today. You know, like it's a short season. Every game counts more than it ever has. So it's just having that extra gear, that extra mentality, that edge of like, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to focus on every single pitch. I'm going to take it one pitch at a time. I'm not going to pitch on 10 pitches ahead. I'm not going to think on the last 10 pitches I've thrown. Like, if I'm able to be super focused one pitch at a time, if I'm able to do that 100 times, I'm going to leave tonight with 100, hopefully, well-executed pitches. But I know, like, the focus, the intent was there. And, yeah, obviously, there will be some moments that you might have to work on some things, but you have to keep it simple. In such a short season, like, I found myself, like, I'm wanting to work some things, but I really have to keep it simple. And, you know, I was able to do that with Mel. Mel's, like, obviously super great at what he does, the way he explains things, like, his insight. So he was able to, like, keep it simple, keep it short, and just keep that momentum going.
Your manager, Don Mattingly, the National League Manager of the Year. And I think everybody is so proud of Donnie and the work that he did with you guys. But he really did say, Pablo, it's a team accomplishment. And he gave all the credit to you guys. But what's it like to play for Donnie?
It's amazing, you know. Like, he's a manager. He's, like, he's our leader, you know. Obviously, it feels great to hear that he thinks it's a team accomplishment. But, like, it starts with him, you know. Like, he gives us that mentality. We feed off of him. Like, what the things he says, the way he carries himself with, like, that professionalism, like, that attitude, like, it's very contagious. Like, we see that and we want to emulate that. We want to, like, act like that. Like when he turns, just like, it's a mental thing. You have to turn it up, like, boom, we turn it up. So, like, it starts with him. You know, like, he sets a tone. Like, in spring training, he sets a tone how he would like to see things getting done. And, like, it's like, hey, like, we know how successful he was as a player. And, like, as a manager, he's been very successful as well. So, like, if this is what he thinks he needs to be done, we have to, like, try to get it done this way, because we know it's going to give us results. So it starts with him. And, you know, like, it's a great feeling to play for him, and super proud of him. And, you know, when he won the National League Manager of the Year award.
Chatting with Pablo Lopez on Beyond the Bases. Pablo, looking ahead towards 2021 and this offseason too, what do you got going on? Do you take a break for a week? Do you get right back at it? What do things kind of look like for you and from the non-baseball side too?
Yeah, so obviously I did want to take some time off, because like I mentioned, like, from spring training 1.0 to October, like, we really didn't take any time off. Like, we just kept throwing and throwing. So I did take like actually 3 weeks, like, not doing anything. I just take a light jog every once in a while. But, like, then after the third week, I started, like, going to the weight room again, getting my exercises. I like to do a lot of stretching, keep my muscles flexible, my joints moving well. So I started doing a lot of that. And I haven't started throwing yet. I figure, like, maybe I'll take, like, an extra week of throwing. And, you know, like, I can always adjust my throwing program to make sure I'm built up by when spring training comes. And on the non-baseball side of it, like, I like to travel, but obviously this year we couldn't do a lot. I did do, like, a road trip. We drove from Miami to Iowa and down. We made a few nice stops on the way. And
sort of primarily a Netflix off-season then?
Netflix, some video games here and there. And I actually started playing pickleball last year. Last year it was Ultimate Frisbee. Last year I discovered Ultimate Frisbee. I loved it. This year I discovered pickleball, and, like, it's so much fun. I like tennis. I like watching tennis, and I'm not a good tennis player, but pickleball is, like, a smaller version, and I like it. It's very fun.
Pablo, as we wrap up, and you and I are sitting here in Marlins Park out towards the bullpen, and we're going to head out to the East Plaza here in a couple of minutes for the Marlins annual Thanksgiving Day turkey distribution. When you go back when you were really young in pro ball and you were in the minor league in front of a couple of hundred fans, there would be little boys and little girls that want your autograph. Now you're in the big leagues. But when you can give back to the community, when did you realize in your career that it was going to be really important because the platform that you have, but to give back to those that might be in need and to take time out of your day, a day like today, to help people around the holidays? How important is it to you?
It's very important, and it really means a lot. You know, growing up in Venezuela, where there's like everyone loves winter baseball, and like I was able to go to a few games here and there, and you know, like knowing that a lot of those players, they do a lot of things for the community, like really, like it made me want to do it. Like when they would do like clinics, you know, like clinics, like free clinics for the kids, I would go to those, and it was really fun. And in my career, I remember when I first made it to Low A in Clinton, Iowa. That was like the very first time like we had like fans in the stands, and every single clinic they would do, every little thing, I would go. Like free car wash, I'll go there. Like free clinics, I would go there. Like reading at school, I'll try my best and I'll go there. So, you know, like that's when like you really, I really realized like we're able to give back and like impact so many people, you know, like to a lot of kids, we might be role models, you know, like, and especially when we're playing, like, there might be a kid that's watching you for the first or the last time, so you might want to try, like, be the best that you can so you can have, like, a good impact. So I really like taking these opportunities to, like, give back to the community and, you know, let the city of Miami know that we're the Marlins, but we're all a family, you know, we do this for them, and, you know, without them, we could not do any of this.
All right, it's time to go distribute some turkeys. All right, Pablo, thanks for the time as always.
Thanks, Kyle. Appreciate it.
Okay, thanks again to Pablo for joining us. A nice 2020 season for Pablo, who's going to look to build off of this success and carry it right into spring training in just a couple of months up in Jupiter. Before we say goodbye today, here's Marlins, former Marlins first baseman and current analyst on Fox Sports Florida, Gabby Sanchez. Okay, Gabby, earlier in the week, it was great to be at Marlins Park for the annual Thanksgiving turkey distribution. As a Miami guy, grew up here, born here, raised here, played your professional career here, what's it mean once a year, twice a year, however often you can, but just to come give back?
It's always great to be able to come back and give back. It's something that I've done when I was playing here, even in the minor leagues, whenever they would invite me to come up when I was doing spring training and doing any of that. Any time that I was able to give back to Miami, I always wanted to do it. But Thanksgiving event, this one where we're passing out turkeys, it's always something special because at least you know that all these families are going to be able to have a Thanksgiving with all the food that we're able to provide for all these families that are in need, especially in a time like COVID where people don't know where they're going to get their next meal, and they're able to actually come to the ballpark, and the Marlins Foundation is able to go out there and say, hey, we know where your next meal is going to be because we're going to provide that for you. At least you know that family is going to have a Thanksgiving. They're going to be grateful for that. And it's not for to gain fans. And that's one of the things that I love that the Marlins do. It's not to gain fans. It's not to do. It's just to give back to the community that has given so much to the Marlins.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's a great event. The Marlins do every year. Yourself, Alex Gonzalez, a former Marlin, Dan Castano, Pablo Lopez, among others, at the ballpark on Monday. So it was great to see you out there, and it's just great to be a part of it. Hey, recapping, and we got a few minutes here, Gabby. The 2020 season was unbelievable for the Marlins, obviously. They persevered. They went through a lot, and at the end of the day, they got bounced in the National League Division Series. But boy, oh boy, if I told you back in July that the Marlins were going to go through X, Y, and Z and they were going to make the playoffs, you would have told me what?
I would have told you that you were crazy, and I think that a lot of people would have said the same thing. And it's not because they're not talented. They definitely are. They've got a lot of young players. They've got some older veterans, and they really meshed well throughout the season. But one of the biggest things were everything that they had to go through, the COVID, all these days missing, having to throw balls inside of their hotel rooms, having to hit socks just to be able to stay on course, and then being able to come out of that, go 5-0 like they did. The team definitely did persevere, and that was one of the things that, as an ex-player and just doing stuff in broadcasting, that I was very respectful for, because these guys did stuff that I don't know if I would have been able to do it in that same situation and come out as they did. But one of the biggest things that I liked was you were able to start seeing those guys come up that we've been talking about for so long, the Sixto Sanchez, the Lewin Diaz. For me, Lewin Diaz is kind of like a Derek Lee over there at first base defensively. He is outstanding, and I think he's just going to get better and better defensively. You got Sanchez out there throwing the ball. You see that 100-mile-an-hour multiple times. You saw what he did against the Cubs and being able to win his first playoff game. Just everything all together, when you see those young guys coming up that everybody has been talking about, and you see that the what the future is going to hold for the Marlins, it's really exciting, and I'm really looking forward to this next season.
All right, so put your cleats back on for a second, because coming off a playoff run, there's going to be a group of guys in Jupiter in a couple of months that have expectations, and now you're going to have to live up to those expectations as a former player, as a player. Do you thrive in that? Do you try not to worry about it? Because there will be expectations now.
There is going to be expectations, but there's one thing that they are able to take out from last season, and that is that they did it.
Right.
So it's something, once you do something once, you know that you can do it again. You know that you have the team to be able to make that push. You know that you have the team of what you need to do in those late games, like in the September games. Yes, it was a 60-game season, but now they already know, okay, hey, this is what the push feels like. This is what the expectation, this is what the nerves feel like. So all of a sudden, all these guys are going to go into that season. When they're in that, their nerves are going to be a lot less. You're going to see them play a lot looser. And when they're playing loose, they're going to be playing a lot better. So for me, the expectation, of course, it's going to be there, but I think that every single one of these guys now have that taste in their mouth. And when you got that taste of playoff baseball in your mouth, there's nothing more than you want than doing that again. And I think you're going to see a team that's going to be a lot sharper on the field. You're going to see a team that's going to have that little chip on their shoulder knowing, hey, we can do this. We did do this. Let's do it again.
Well, I think the balance, too, of the veterans and some of the younger guys. Jesus Aguilar was funny. It's lighthearted. But, boy, he contributed. Then Marte comes in at the deadline. Corey Dickerson, an up-and-down year. But you mix those guys in with an Isan Diaz, a Jazz Chisholm, a Jesus Sanchez. The list goes on and on. You feel like you have a recipe there where they're going to be really competitive for 6 months.
Yeah, and then you have a guy like Miguel Rojas, the captain of the team, in my opinion, that he's able to keep everybody in check. Still lighthearted, he still jokes around with them, but if you do something wrong, he's going to be the one that's going to tell you what's going on. You got a Brian Anderson, he's got another year under his belt, another guy that could be that team leader along with Miguel Rojas. So you're right, Jesus Aguilar, what did he do? I think he put everybody at ease, especially in that dugout. A lot of the young guys, talking with them, letting them understand the game of baseball, letting them understand, hey, this is how we play it, and you're going to be playing better if we're all laughing and having a good time. The best times that I had playing baseball was when everybody was on the same page and everybody was having a good time, and you can tell that Jesus Aguilar definitely did that. So you're right, there is that veteran leadership. You do have those young guys that are coming up, but I think those young guys are hungry, wanting to learn from those veterans, and it's not them just being like, oh, these veterans don't want to teach me, they don't want to even talk to me, and since I'm a young guy, they don't want to do that. You don't have that with that team. Everybody's working together with that same goal.
Don Mattingly, the Marlins manager, the National League Manager of the Year in 2020. What makes a great manager, Gabby, and what did he bring to this ball club? And what does he bring from the top step of the dugout? He just always seems so even-keeled to me.
Well, one, it's Don Mattingly. You know, so as a player, even if you didn't know who Don Mattingly was, because some of these guys are probably a little too young, you're going to still be able to look at the batting, the baseball card, and look around to see what he did. So you're respecting that already as that. But one of the biggest things is he's a player's manager. He will back his players. He will never throw them under the bus. And every single one of those players knows that, and knows that if they mess up, that he will take the full brunt of that force, that they're never going to be the one that's going to get thrown under the bus looking. I think every single one of those players respects that in him. And he's bringing that lighthearted stuff, too. He's also bringing, you know, championships and playoffs, so he knows how it is to be able to interact in those. And he's able to give his knowledge to those players. And like a sponge, they're going to be soaking that up.
Now, take the cleats off, back into the broadcast seat. Recently, the Marlins made a historic move. Kim Eng is now the general manager. But you're a dad with a family and two daughters at home. And I think a lot of people, Gabby, were really emotional, like dads and families and girls and women out there. Like, now somebody has broken through for us and we can pave our own way. Even without the broadcast perspective and your view on this, like, what's that mean to you with a family and daughters at home that could pursue this now as a career?
It's definitely groundbreaking, and it's great that the Marlins were able to do that, because Kim was definitely somebody who, in my opinion, was overqualified for the job, and I think everybody else said the same exact thing. She did so many things in baseball already, and people might not know that. But for me, having my three daughters and going out there and being able to be able to tell them, listen, there is a place for you in baseball. If you work hard, if you study, and if you do what you need to do, you can be a GM, you can be a president, you can be whatever it is that you want to be in sports. And the Marlins were able to do that. And especially being a dad, having girls, man, it's something special to be able to tell them, look, this can be you at some point.
It's a terrific hire, and it's going to be a lot of fun to watch Kim and her entire team go to work. Gabby, happy Thanksgiving to you and the family. Stay safe, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thank you very much. Happy Thanksgiving to you and to all the fans out there.
It's been amazing to read and hear the stories following the hiring of Kim, and the ones that have really struck me the most are the parents that can now turn to their daughters, mom or dad, and say, there's a path for you in Major League Baseball. And you can thank Kim Eng moving forward. That glass ceiling, I know that many people have used that analogy, but it's been shattered. And Kim Eng's got a lot of work to do, but she has certainly paved the way for many, many young girls out there that love the game of baseball. Maybe they didn't think to themselves it was ever possible, but it certainly is now. Well, that's all the time we have for you on this episode of Beyond the Bases, but stay tuned all off-season long. We'll be with you every 2 weeks. And we'll keep you up to date on everything that's going on. Take care, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving, and stay safe.